This morning, I'm beginning my last teaching series with you. And this morning and over the next 3 weeks, I want to focus on the incredible spiritual gift of giving thanks. The text that will lead us through this series is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 4, St. Paul is writing to this incredibly important community of faith in Corinth, in modern-day Turkey. And as with several other letters from Paul, he teaches us the priority of giving thanks. I invite you to hear these words from the heart of God through the pen of St. Paul. I always thank my God for you. Why? Because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Or the Greek text will allow in you, or even through you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe this passage teaches us three great truths, and we'll take one each Sunday. I want to begin this week with the great truth, thanking God for the godly people in our lives. Next week, I want us to focus on thanking God for the godly experiences of growth that we have in our lives. And in two more weeks, thanking God for the promise that there is more great work to do, something great yet to come. But I want to begin this morning by focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6. Thanking God for the godly people in our lives. Someone has said, and I think it's true, faith is not so much taught as it is caught. Now the teaching ministry of the church, wow, that's important. To give a foundation, to give a perspective, to give a deepening insight. But I suspect for most of us, many of us, maybe most of us, that faith in Jesus Christ was first caught because we not only heard a message, but we saw the difference that the risen Lord makes in a person's life. It's St. Paul that puts the priority on giving thanks to God by specifically thanking the godly people in his life. Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles. Paul, the one who had been beaten and bruised, shipwrecked and jailed, whose character had been called into question, who had an indictment against him by the civil authorities, who had his own people turn their backs upon him, imprisoned and deprived. Paul says, I give thanks to God for you. And in the first of our last messages together, I want to follow St. Paul in giving thanks for you. But why specifically? Well, Paul talks about the great gift of God's grace, his unmerited favor that changes everything in our lives. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It is the overflowing heartbeat of God poured graciously upon us. His promise, His favor, that we can be rescued and redeemed. We can be repaired and reformed. We can live a life that really, really, really matters. As we give glory to God and work for the good of others. But in 1 Corinthians 1:6, he really brings it home to me. I thank my God for you because of the grace of Jesus Christ given to you. But verse 6 says, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Now here, subtly in the Greek text, I think we see an incredible insight. The word testimony in the Greek text means truth or witness, a revelation. And we have received from God the fullness of His revelation in Jesus Christ. But it's real easy for that revelation just to be, yeah, that's nice. That's pretty cool. You know, God's become one of us. Hey, nifty. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says that testimony has been confirmed among you, confirmed in you. The truth of the testimony has been brought to life in a life that has been changed. I especially like in the text the Greek word for confirmed, because it literally means to be able to stand and be stable in the midst of whatever challenging circumstance comes. In fact, when paired together, the word for witness or testimony and the word for being confirmed is the concept of being a martyr. Literally, the word in the Greek text for testimony is martyrion. That is the English word martyr. And I don't want you to think in terms of martyrdom being a punishment. I want you to think of martyrdom as having such incredible confidence in who Christ is, and such a resolve to serve Him no matter what, that no amount of threat or punishment or even torture could cause a person to renounce the name that is above all names. Now that's standing firm, isn't it? That's a resoluteness of the Spirit. And that's what I have seen in you. We've had a good 7 years together, and I am so very grateful for those 7 years in ways that I have seen through you the testimony of the truth of Jesus Christ lived out in life-changing ways for others. And the way the life-changing testimony of Christ through you has been shown to me. I remember that Mother's Day at the 11 o'clock service. We're joyfully singing the great hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, when my father falls right over and has a cardiac event during Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. That was an interesting moment. I remember rushing to his side and Scott McCord called 911. I'm convinced the best place to have a medical emergency is Sunday morning at Conyers First. I mean, you'll just be covered. You will be taken care of at Conyers First because of all the gifted and anointed medical women and men as a part of our church. But I remember a critical moment looking up to the congregation wondering, do I go with my dad? Do I stay and finish the service? And with one unison mantra, the congregation began to say, go, 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 go. You've walked with me through the horrible diagnosis of aggressive breast cancer in the life of my cherished sister-in-law who lives here in Atlanta, who has my Atlanta niece and nephews to whom I am so devoted. And the way, particularly those of you who have had the cancer diagnosis and have found the healing power of the great physician, have confirmed in me the healing truth of Jesus Christ. and in my moments of great angst, confirmed faith in me. The ways you've allowed me to walk with you through some very happy moments of life and through some heartbreaking moments of life, and allowed me access to your hearts, and then allowing me to see the power of Christ raise you up through the valley of the shadow of whatever it has been and give you hope. The honesty with which you have spoken into my life, some real honesty that you have spoken into my life, to help confirm in me a more sensitive spirit as a servant of the Most High God, and greater insight into effective leadership for the people of God. I'm interested that St. Paul, who we almost want to idolize as being this incredibly gifted and anointed servant of God, surely not needing anything but the anointing power of the Spirit of God, says, no, if I'm anything, if I have been able to endure the challenges that have been thrust upon me, I give thanks because of you. You've loved me through it. And I feel the same about you. I think it's important to give thanks to God for the blessings of life. It is. I think it's important to thank God for the people, the godly people in our lives. But it's equally important to thank them personally. And over these next few weeks, I'm going to be finding as many ways as I can to thank you personally for the testimony of Christ that I have seen confirmed in this congregation, and how the testimony of the power of Christ has confirmed in me hope. And I thank you for it. I'm a terribly sentimental person, and therefore I am not good at saying goodbye. I really don't like saying goodbye. And there's a sense in which believers never really say goodbye, do we? It's a favorite memory of mine as an undergraduate. I went to college in the autumn of 1982, and in the spring of 1983 at my college, there was a new contemporary Christian singer who was just beginning to make a splash in the Christian world. She was just releasing her first album, the name of the album, Age to Age, and the singer, Amy Grant. But as you know with all concerts, the headliner doesn't come on immediately. You got to have a warm-up act. And she presented a guy that nobody had ever heard of. Guy comes out, looks a lot like Pastor Joshua. I mean, he had hair everywhere sprouting out of him. And he sat down at a keyboard, and man alive, the things begin to happen. We didn't know his name then, but I bet you know his name now, Michael W. Smith. And it was in that concert that he sang, among his other great hits, the hit that he has played more often than any other and will always be associated with him. And perhaps you know some of these words. Friends are friends forever, if the Lord is the Lord of them. And a friend cannot say never, for the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, and the Father's hand, we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And I believe that. But this week I have one of the hardest things I have to do in getting ready to leave you. Can I tell you what it is? I have to process through thousands of memories in my office. Interesting memories. During one sermon series, one of our members decided to give me a rubber chicken. Why she gave me a rubber chicken, I don't know. And more importantly, what the heck am I going to do with that rubber chicken? In another sermon series, someone else gave me a pair of handcuffs, saying that he just wanted to handcuff me to this church forever. What am I going to do with handcuffs? Now, get this one. You know, we've got some members with some strange humor in this congregation, among them some of you. And this member gave me this long plaque that sits on one of my bookshelves, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it in church, and especially since this middle service we record, but here's the statement that this member gave me. It says, "Can't fix stupid." Now, what am I going to do with that plaque that says, "Can't fix stupid"? But there's one drawer that I'm most hesitating to open. I have one drawer filled with hand-lettered and hand-colored construction paper from little boys and girls who have written me notes or drawn me pictures, or get this, have drawn pictures of me on the fronts of bulletins or on the back of sermon notes. You know how that works. I have a little skinny body, oh that I did, a little skinny body with my robe and stole and hood and cross, and a great big head with big ears and big glasses and big hair. What am I going to do with all, I bet it's this much, the stack has grown this big. What am I going to do with all of those memories? Here's the thing I know. I have a hard time saying goodbye. And I want to be able to say goodbye to you, so many of you personally. But I don't want us to say goodbye because friends are friends forever. But as I wrote in the worship folder this week, I would love it, maybe, if you would send me a note that I could put in my Conyers First memory book, as I'm calling it. Maybe reminding me of a moment, an experience of joy or laughter, an experience where we've hurt together, where we've cried together. Maybe something silly I did or said, or how goofy I looked. Like the chancel choir member that posts on Facebook the backside of my head because that's all she sees, and comments regularly about how my hair sticks up. I mean, wonderful memories in the life of our great church. Because St. Paul tells us there is power in thanking God and thanking those who have made a difference in our lives. And you have made a difference in my life. Last night I got an email from a wonderful sort of new member in the life of our church. It really touched me deeply. And at the end, she confessed she had grown up in another denominational tradition and didn't understand why Methodists move preachers and all that. But she said, "You helped me to love church again." I hope implicit in that message is the deeper meaning that you helped me love Jesus. Paul is the one who said to thank God by thanking others. And as we prepare to say our goodbyes, and as we prepare, as I leave you to write the next great, exciting chapter of ministry in the life of this great church, I'd like to take some memories with me of each of you. Because in these 7 years, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection, the healing grace that comes through the blood of the cross, the filling of the Holy Spirit to do things that we never thought we could do on our own, hope restored, relationships rebuilt, lives changed, has been confirmed in my heart through you. And I just want to put a pause there for a second and say, if St. Paul is right, then who are those in your life who have confirmed the testimony of Christ in you? Maybe as a little boy or girl, it was a godly grandmother, like my godly grandmother. I have the best memory of a Christmas Eve with my godly grandmother, kneeling to receive Holy Communion with her. Maybe it was a vacation Bible school leader or a Sunday school teacher or a neighbor who made sure that you were going to be in God's house. Maybe it was a friend who had a vibrant witness for Christ and spoke into you the possibility of a life that would never be changed again. I wonder, have you been serious enough to thank God for that person by actually thanking that person? Actually committing a note to say, thank you for confirming the testimony of Christ in me. The reason those notes from children mean so much to me, the reason those notes from you mean so much to me, is because there is great joy in knowing that we've made a difference. And this week, I challenge you to tell somebody, to write to somebody, a godly person in your life, to write them, tell them, thank them for confirming the testimony of Christ in you. Thank them for God using them to bring you closer to the Lord. I wonder, who will you write or call this week? St. Paul said, I always thank God for you. And he took the time to write a letter and send it. That's something to think about. I thank God for you. Amen.